Chapter 9. New Words. The next day, when Cinca and Tong came to check up on Jordan, it surprised them to see Dingba in the tent conversing with them. After clearing up any confusion, Jordan informed them of the resolution the two came to last night. Cinca looked at Dingba, then back to Jordan. "So, you aren't mad she attacked you?" "Eh, I would have preferred if she didn't attack me, but I suppose I can't be too mad." Cinca looked at Dingba. "And to apologize, you're going to help him learn the language of fairies?" Dingba nodded. "Yes, and I was going to help him train a bit once he heals up more." Tong scoffed. "Well, I guess that settles that." Jordan and Dingba nod with a grin as Tong got up to take his leave. Cinca's wings snapped up. "Great." She flew off into the back room and started rummaging around. A few seconds later, she popped her head out. "Dingba, catch." She chucked a book at a startled Dingba. Dingba fumbled with the catch, but kept it off the ground. "Why'd you throw it?" Cinca was already grabbing more books. She flew over and dumped them in Dingba's lap. "These are great for beginners, and you can use these to practice writing." She dropped two wooden slabs and two long sticks that had a white puffball attached to the end. "And you can read to him. Oh, you should read the Wusselfluff to him." She squealed while shaking her legs and hands in the air. Dingba's face burned red. "Why would I read that to him?" Cinca beamed with joy. "It's your favorite book." Dingba leaned back. "Isn't this a little much for today?" "What's the point in waiting? His body is the only thing injured. His mind seems okay." "Well, it's just..." "No, no time like the present. Come, Tong, let's leave them to it." She grabbed Tong and dragged him towards the door. "I'll bring some snacks later. Have fun, you two." When Cinca exited the hut, Dingba let out an exaggerated sigh before looking at Jordan. She smiled softly. "Thank you." Jordan stroked his beard. "No worries. I have a question, though." "Shoot." "Cinca said you couldn't use fairy magic, but during the fight, I know for sure I blocked your first attack, and it still felt like I not only got hit, but like a force was flowing through my stomach. If that wasn't magic, what is it?" Dingba's face scrunched up. Cinca in her big mouth. She sighed and lowered her head, causing her shallow bangs to obscure her eyes. "Yes," she looked back at Jordan. "I cannot use any fairy magic." She grew quiet for a moment. "When I was younger, a man came to our village. His name was Jul Kurdul." "The Zagaigus, right?" Dingba smiled. "Yep. It was after I'd gotten into trouble again. I'd gotten into a fight with some bullies. I lost, and I was sulking. Jul found me in my hiding spot." Her eyes lowered, and her smile weakened. "I was cursing my life. I wanted to tear my wings off, but he stopped me. What he said to me, I will never forget. If you can't be a normal fairy, become an extraordinary fairy. It was the first time someone has ever even hinted I could become someone extraordinary, even without magic." She smirked. Her gaze grew stronger. "After that, he trained me in Zagaiga boxing. Eventually, I learned." She turned and threw a punch, causing a visible explosion of air centered on her fists. "To do that. While it's not magic, it's more of an ability or a trait as a result of my training. Master Jewel told me it's called temperance, and that even if someone has magic tolerance, I can bypass it because my fists do more internal damage than external. Plus, it's not magic." "How do you build tolerance to begin with?" Dingba shrugged. "Use magic, I guess. You'd have to ask whoever taught you magic. If you don't have any tolerance, you're in bad shape." "That's why it hurts so much. I probably don't have any tolerance. So, you most likely got true damage off on me." Jordan rubbed his stomach. This slightly deflated Dingba's pose. Dingba sighed and ruffled her hair before looking away. "Yeah, sorry again." "So how do you resist temperance if tolerance doesn't help?" "That I don't know. I remember Master Jewel saying something about colors or presence or something. I don't remember it too well." She sighed. Her eyes glanced at the book in her lap. Her fingers traced the lettering of the title, the Whistle Fluff. She smiled. "I suppose we can start your lesson." She opened the book. There was once a small creature called the Whistle Fluff. After a few weeks of learning the language of fairies, Jordan felt he was starting to get the basics, but being cooped up in the hut all the time was starting to drive him crazy. After much begging in both English and fairy, Cinca finally relented and allowed him to walk around the village. A few minutes later, Jordan walked behind Dingba as he clutched a cane to assist him in walking and to help him rehabilitate his muscles. Under Cinca's orders, after all. Dingba used these walks to give him pop quizzes, though after a while, it felt like a game. She would lead Jordan through the village and randomly point out various things, and Jordan would hopefully call out the right word. If he got enough right, he would get a treat when they got back to the hut. Dingba stopped and pointed to a wicker basket. Jordan's eyes widened as he searched his mind for the information. Basket. So it'd be... Tuli? Dingba gave him a thumbs up and continued walking. A while later, Dingba stopped once more and pointed at a fruit. Jordan stood behind her, panting. His body trembled from overuse. He looked up at the fruit. It was round and orange. The flesh is mostly smooth, with pinprick blemishes all over. Orange. Dingba turned back with a raised eyebrow. What? It's an orange. You know the fruit, an orange. Dingba noticed his breathing and the amount of sweat that was dripping down his body. Jordan sighed. Wait, I can't remember what this is. It looks like a fruit called an orange from my world, and that's all my mind is telling me. His fatigue got the better of him today. Dingba deflated. Oh, sorry. I guess I got carried away. I'll give you a freebie. It's called Kriti. She floated up and positioned herself under his arm. Come on, let's take a break. We can learn something else while you rest. Then we'll get you back. After helping him sit, she flew off to get some food and drink. A while later, she came back with some bread and some water. Jordan tore off a piece of bread and popped it in his mouth. It was a little firm on the outside, chewy on the inside. It reminded him of sourdough, both in shape and flavor. Dingba took a huge bite out of her bread. Jordan chuckled, and she looked at him while she chewed. Hmm? Jordan shook his head. Nothing. Thanks for teaching me. Dingba raised an eyebrow and swallowed her mouthful. Why are you thanking me? We had a deal. Jordan smiled. Still. Thank you. Dingba smiled. You're welcome. She then turned to her bread and bit off another piece. After talking and filling their bellies, Dingba grabbed a tablet and dropped a small bag on top of it. The sound of metal objects is heard as she moves the tablet. All right, last thing for today. She dumped out the contents of the bag. A trickle of coins spilled out onto the tablet. They vary in color, from brown to a bright silver. Dingba gave the bag a final shake, and a few rolled up pieces of paper fell out as well. She grabbed a bronze coin and lifts it. We call these pints. The front had an image of a beetle stamped into it, with a very intricate pattern surrounding it. She flipped it around and showed the back, which contained an image of a tankard stamped on it. This is the currency we use here. Well, not here in the village, but in other places we can use it for trading. They increase by tenfold. The bronze ones with one tankard on the back is worth 1 pint, and the super shiny ones, with 4, are worth 1,000 bronze pints. Jordan inspected each coin. From what he could tell, the metals were bronze, silver with 2 tankards, gold with 3, and finally platinum with 4. So 1, 10, 100, and 1,000? Dingba smiled. You aren't so helpless after all. That's right. Now let's see if you can get the next one. She unfurled the rolled up paper. These are called slips. They work much the same, but go by 5s. She laid out 4 bills, red, blue, yellow, and black, in ascending order. Each bill had the same symbol of a beetle printed in the middle. The corners of each bill were textured in different ways. So if the red ones are worth 5 pints, How much are the black ones worth? Jordan smiled, despite the sudden fear of answering wrong washing over him. 5,000? Dingba raised her eyebrow before smirking. Good job. I guess we don't need to worry about math or anything. Jordan sighed in relief. Thank God. He picked up a coin. Who made the money? I assume the beetle symbol represents something? Dingba wrote on the tablet, then flipped it around. There in the center were two words written in common and in fairy. Jordan studied it for a moment. Collective? Dingba nodded. Correct. The symbol of the beetle is the symbol of the collective. Jordan waited for a second. So who are they? Dingba thought for a moment. The collective are a race of tall beetles that dominated the world before taking pity on everyone. They are all-knowing and feared by the main races. A pit grew in Jordan's stomach. I see. Why are they feared? From what Tong told me, they had a face? Jordan raised an eyebrow. What kind of face? A devouring swarm kind of face? Jordan's eyes grew wide. Yeah, there's a big war, and a lot of races and animals went extinct. But apparently they're cool now, so, yeah. Dingba started scooping the coins back into the bag. Anyway, just know the universal rule of the world. Never hurt a member of the collective. It never ends well. She secured the bag. All right, let's go return this before Cinca freaks out. We can go over more stuff tomorrow. Jordan smiled. All right, let's go. Eventually, they made it back to the hut. Both drenched in sweat, Cinca came in with some drinks and a bowl filled with translucent orbs of various colors. Looks like you two did a lot of work today. She gave each one a cup and set the bowl in between them. Jordan chugged his water, then looked at Cinca. What's this? I call them rainbow orbs. Just a little treat I give to the kids sometimes. Try them. Jordan picked up a red one and held it to the light. It's hard, ruby red, and in the middle, there's an object. But Jordan couldn't make it out. What's in the middle? Dingba popped one in her mouth. A surprise. Jordan glanced at her before popping it in his mouth. It was sweet, like honey. There was a faint, fruity taste, like a sweet queen. But this was sour. His cheeks tingled as he stored the sweet orb in his cheek. Once he felt a second texture in his mouth, he took the now-shrunken orb out and studied it. Cinca smiled as he did. The object in the center was a worm. It was chubby, lifeless, and its flesh dyed red from the candy mixture they encased it in. Jordan gagged and moved the candy out of his sight. The smile on Cinca's face faded away. A second later, the look of terror flashed over her face. I forgot. I'm so sorry. She quickly searched for a napkin or towel for him to discard the candy in. Jordan choked down his vomit. No, it's fine. Jordan glanced at the worm. He braced himself and took a bite, tearing the whole thing out of the core. A quick shiver ran across his body as he put the rest in his mouth. He chewed slowly. The texture was slightly chewy, like a gummy worm. The overall worm was sour. I don't hate it. Dingba and Cinca sat wide-eyed as he swallowed the worm. Dingba was the first to speak. Whoa. Cinca smiled faintly. You didn't have to eat it if you didn't want to. Jordan smiled. It's fine. I enjoy trying new things, and I hate seeing food go to waste. I actually kinda liked it. He picked up another one and popped it in his mouth. Cinca relaxed. Well, if you say so, help yourself.